This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Audio. All right, cool. What's going on, people? Welcome to the match preview as we look ahead to Glasner's first game in charge against Burnley on the weekend. I'm joined by Patrick, Stan and AJ. As always, if you do enjoy this, make sure to hit the like button and subscribe to not miss out on future Palace content. Gents, start of a new era. It's official. The coaching staff have been announced as well. We're going to be talking about that, talking about the importance of the game. Look, it's all nice having a new coach, but we're still facing another relegation fighting side. But for you, I'll start off with you, AJ. We haven't really had your thoughts recently. You've been a bit busy. Glasner comes into won the Europa League. Lots of new coaches that we'll be talking about as well. How are you feeling ahead of the Burnley game?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I've never seen so many coaches at Palace, or at least it's been a very, very long time. A serious manager with serious pedigree. Shout out to Stan because he called Glasner's name out a while ago. So credit where credit's due. But I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring. He's definitely got some sort of... I think it just brings excitement, man. It's so strange, like, you know, going from Roy Ball to a progressive manager that wins things. He don't play. He doesn't allow... the board to take liberties with him. He seems to get the best out of his players. He's definitely shown that he can create up-and-coming star players as well. He seems like he works with youth as well. I can't believe it. I literally still can't believe it. It's a step in the right direction for me. I'm relieved, if anything.
Well, you might be able to believe it when you see him on the touchline on Saturday. So you only got a few more days. If you're going to that game, then you'll be able to believe it when he's there live in the flesh. Patrick. It's a new start. It's a new start at Palace. But expectations, I just want to quickly talk about that because I don't think it's as easy as Glasner comes in, everything is perfect straight away because we do have a lot of problems. We have to be honest with ourselves. So how long are we expecting this process to take? Is it from here to the end of the season for him to now settle the players? Like, how many games do you reckon it'll take for the players to understand what Glasner wants to do? Like, are you expecting a quick start to his Palace career? With the Burnley game coming up, or do you think it'll take a bit of time?
Well, first, I'm in it for the long run. However long it takes, I've got no problem with it. I'll be patient as I need to be. I like the fact that in Monday's game, we showed a little bit of what Glasner wants to do, meaning playing three in the back, wing backs, etc. But I think when you see it fully implemented, it'll be a lot deeper, more pressing, more switches of play, more counter-attacking, more direct balls, etc. But I'm willing to give it as long as it takes, honestly. Listen, we've got Burnley and we've got Tottenham next two matches, then Luton. Of those two, we've got to win at least two, minimum four points out of those three games. But I don't know how long it's going to take, honestly, D. I just think that we have to be patient as a fan base. We've been very quick to turn on certain managers, rightly so in some cases, not so rightly so in other cases. But I think, again, as we've mentioned before, Stan mentioned before, the guy has pedigree. Glasner has pedigree. He's putting a great staff. I'm loving what I saw with the picture today with the staff, Kylie and McCarthy here. But you've got like three, four new assistant coaches. There's no more assistant manager. You got a new fitness guy. So, no, I'm willing to give it as long as it takes. We obviously have to stay up first. Priority is to stay up, whatever that takes. But after that, we can build on this and attract more players, etc. I'm excited.
Yeah, Stan, 4 assistant coaches. It's been announced today. 1 fitness conditioning coach, and also Dean Kylie stays on as well, part of the assistants. Paddy McCarthy's there. In terms of, you know, Ray Lewington leaving, it's going to be an end of an era there. But Paddy McCarthy stays, Dean Kylie stays. Are you happy with the changes that's been implemented, as well as, you know, keeping the current, a few of the current coaching, previous coaching setup as well?
Yeah, I think with Dean Kylie, I was sort of neither here nor there. I mean, he could have stayed or he could have gone. I'm happy that he kept Paddy because I think you, at least until the end of this season, you do need a bit of continuity. The guys need to get to probably know the club, know the players. You know, Paddy's a bit more, you know, he's been with them a while, so that's good. And, you know, hopefully, I dread to think what the fitness coach is going to do when he sees how unfit our players
are. Long work.
Like, it's not recommended. I don't even know, like, there's going to be star jumps, burpees, and what's it called? And sprints, probably, as a minimum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Not to mention anything else, but I think it's good. And like we said, I think with this manager, man, we got to give him time. I don't want to, you know, even if we don't get the results that we want right here, right now, I don't want to hear people turning on him and stuff like that, because the club has moved, has moved in a direction, and he's the guy to take us forward. So I'm excited. I'm happy. Some new coaching staff. Let's see what they can do.
Quick question: who could name the previous fitness coach at Crystal Palace?
Scott Guyett. Scott Guyett.
No, before he left about a year and a half ago. Before him, he's been gone for a while.
Well, Dean Kylie was a set piece coach, so based on how we're operating, it might be Ray Lewington. I don't know.
That's my point. Michael Berchtold is a new coach. It's funny how in the past, and Stan's right, it was Scott Guy, who was very good, by the way, but he's been gone for a while and back to Australia. But that's my whole point. The fact that we got to know who the guy is right away, to me, is a great point. Because again, if you understand Glasner's system, and Stan pointed out, you're going to have to be fit. Fit to press, fit to run, fit to counter. We won't have any unfit players. But also, what I want to add is that you're going to see a lot more subbing, because if you're not going to be fit on the pitch, you're going to be out. Whether you're, you know, Jordan Ayew, Mateta, whomever. You know what I mean? So that's important.
I think that they used to bring in a fella from Fitness First once a week just to like put them through their paces or something.
we talk about a fitness coach, but jokes aside, what I've been thinking is right now is, we've got this fitness coach, and of course he's going to put the players through the pace, but we've also got an issue with some of these players being overworked. Well, in terms of like overplayed. We've seen with Elise
playing, overplayed.
So I wonder how they find the balance, because that's what this season is pretty much trying to stay up. It'll be nice to improve, of course, the fitness. I think the fitness coach will be able to do that. There isn't that many games left, but there's still a good chunk. But I think where we see the best out of this coaching staff is next season. If we do stay up this season, then we have a fresh start. We have a fitness coach there. We have the assistant coaches who know the players a bit more. Of course, we'll sell a few players, bring in a few players. But this season is literally, let's get grip of the situation. Let's get a grip. And it starts with the Burnley game as well, AJ. It is a big game, because if we lost against Burnley, I think that would be pretty significant due to how Burnley have been playing, and also in terms of the points tally. But for you, where do you stand with the importance of this game individually, if you move Glasner apart? Because you don't really want to lose against Burnley.
I think, form aside, and the way things are, and you know, letting the new manager in bed, this, what you would call a six-pointer in terms of getting us away from that relegation zone and allowed us to progress to that safer model than able, to be fair. Because let's be honest, we know we're not going to rip up any trees and battle for Europe. That's over. But if we're serious about, you know, staying up and enabling Glasner to progress, this is the game that we need to really just go in and turn them over. Burnley haven't really I do think this season they've actually been pretty poor, to be honest. So even with a poor informed Crystal Palace team, we should have enough to sort of beat them and just sort of slowly start getting our way away from that relegation chat and just get more into a consolation stage in the Premier League for next season, to be fair, because let's be honest, that's all we can hope for. But just to maybe get the panic stations and calm and get the manager off to a good start, I think we are more than capable of beating Burnley. I think the only danger is complacency and the excitement around the new manager. And then obviously to get into this game and thinking, oh, all of a sudden we've got a new manager for the door. Everything's going to change. We've still got key players missing. We've still got a lot of creativity that is not present in the team. But from what I saw on Monday, I think there is enough in there to be able to get a quick 3 points for Burnley. See what we can do with Tottenham. We'll worry about that down the line. But I think it's so important for the manager to not only get off a good start in terms of, you know, his stewardship of the team, but just based on what the occasion means, because it's very exciting times, yes, but we are still technically in a relegation battle. And I'd rather get those points now than to have to be sitting there hiding behind the couch watching Palace come April, May, to be fair.
Yeah, right now, how it stands is, I mean, I don't care who you are. Some people may not do it, but I am looking at scores. I'm looking at Everton. I'm looking at Luton. I'm looking at all the teams that are below us, and I'm hoping for results to go in our favour. And at the time of recording, Liverpool beat Luton 4-1, which is good in terms of goal difference and points, but that's where we're at right now. And until we pick up them points under Glasner, it's going to be like that. We want to create a gap. Burnley are below us, and you know this is a perfect opportunity to go further apart. But let's be realistic: it's Everton and the Luton, and you know those two teams that is concerning me more than the likes of Burnley. Even though if we lost against Burnley, that would be pretty significant. Now let's talk about some of the individuals, because AJ, you did mention that Gehi and Eze and Elise have been out for the side, but there has been rumours, Patrick, about potentially Eze and Gehi being fit for this game. Do you take that risk and bring them straight away to the Burnley game due to, you know, it being a significant game against a potential, right, you know, not potential, but a relegation candidate? Or do you keep them still on the sidelines to make sure they're 100% ready?
I'm hearing they're not going to be ready anyway, but I wouldn't risk them for this game. You can't risk them. I mean, we've done that before, right? We risk Olise gone for another month, risk Eze gone for another month. No, you don't risk them for Burnley. As much as important as this game is, and I'll get to something more important about that in a minute, you can't risk them for me. You have to rest them, get them back for... I would even risk them for Tottenham, because we don't get much out of Tottenham anyway. The game I would have them back for would be Luton, for sure. And Luton going forward is going to be massive, but I'd give them the next 2 weeks off. Just form guide-wise, they've lost in 8 straight competitions, including FA Cup, and they've lost 7 straight league games. And we haven't won, sorry, in 8 games. So they're not very good. Last we played them, by the way, you know what our front four was? Schlupp, Hughes, IU, Edward. For me, our front four will be equal to that on Saturday or better. So if we can beat them the first time, I'm sorry. The lack of players, Eze and Lise didn't play the last game. As much as important they are, and they are important, obviously. We have to win.
He came on with 5 minutes to go, but he was just coming back from
right, because he made the assist for Mitchell's goal, right? But my point is, he didn't start the game. So my point is, they're not very good.
It wasn't a great performance though, Patrick, against Burnley. I don't know why that game. I won't forget that this season. I remember on another day, and I said this. I just remember it clear as daylight. I said on another day, if we face another side, we would have not beaten Burnley because of the amount of chances that they created. The difference was in a reverse fixture is that they couldn't finish their chances. That was not a 2-0 type of performance. And what happened after the Burnley game? We struggled. That win was the least convincing win that I've seen in a very long time. Just like the Sheffield United game. We beat them 3-2, thankfully. But I was not getting carried away because you could tell by the performance that not much was changing and we're still struggling. Stan, you did say a few things just there. Sorry to cut you off. But when you look at what happened against Everton, would you go with the same lineup against Burnley?
Potentially. I have been reading and hearing that apparently Glasner is looking to set us up in a way that Mateta and JP play as a front two and to try and get more out of them. I'm not sure, obviously, how that works, obviously, formation-wise, but that would be quite interesting. I think you've got Adam Wharton. He's shown that he can play. He's a good player. The Munoz fella's decent. He looks decent enough. I think if we turn up and we're on our game, I think we'll be all right. But, you know, I know that they're not great, but you can never underestimate them because last time they battered us. Like, honestly, like you said, we were lucky. They battered us.
What do you mean? They only had 17 shots on goal.
17. It was horrific.
It was horrific.
Some of the games that we faced so far this season, even in our wins, I can't remember the last time we've had a Brentford, that was it. That was our most convincing win so far this season.
Wasn't even that convincing.
United and also Burnley. I think Brentford's probably been the most convincing win. But I want to quickly, you mentioned JP and Edouard. I want to quickly touch on that because we had I thought it was a problem against Everton where JP had to stay on the pitch. Edouard got subbed off. Because of the lack of depth up front, AJ, do you think there's an issue with both of them starting at the same time? At the end of the day, you can't really rotate the players. I mean, who else do you bring on if you start on, you know, start JP and Edouard? And you see it at the end of the Everton game. I thought Paddy should have made a change, maybe put Ayew up front, or we just needed a fresh player up there because it wasn't working. JP was absolutely knackered. So do you think that could be an issue in the short term, both of them starting?
100% agree. The hottest young prospect in the team in terms of strikers went out alone. So I guess the argument is also that you've got Umar, you've got Plange, maybe you could obviously alternatively put a IU or even a Schlopp up there, to be fair, which he did not.
He's done for the season.
Oh, so we're done. Fair enough. What? So, you know, huh?
What? The Shani's quad.
Yeah, I heard it. They mentioned it during the broadcast, the American broadcast on Monday, that they heard that he's done. He heard his quad is on for the season, but have surgery. They haven't announced it yet.
No wonder Hodgson stepped down. Anyway, I think to be fair. He was like, that's it, mate. I've got nothing left. I think, yeah, the problem is there are the options because after that, you have to go straight down to the younger players in the team, your Marshes and your Dairies and stuff. And let's be honest there, I think that would be a little bit too much too soon for either of the two of those young players anyway. The problem is with the way that we've done business with Russia practice recently, attacking options in terms of a goal score, there aren't any other options after that. If anything, you kind of have to go down the route of probably playing a number one, a one striker in terms of logic, because between now and the end of the season, it is highly likely one of them might get a pull, get an injury, and then all of a sudden you've got to change up the whole tactics all over again. So I'm not a fan of somebody not playing two strikers up front long term. One or two games on occasion, and then maybe change the formation throughout the game is a possibility. From my understanding, the new manager is very good at doing that. He does implement very tactical changes during games and per game and per opponent. So he's always very prepared in that side of things. But I do agree with our injury record, especially this season. I'm a bit concerned that if we do play those two strikers up front, but one bad tackle or one dodgy hamstring or ACL or something like that away from going a bit left of us, then we've got to change it up all over again. And as from what I've historically seen with Premier League teams, if you're going to change the system, you can't always get that done in a week or 5 days or 3 days or how many days they're training. So we'll have to see how it plays out. I think right now, I think Mateta's in favour over Edouard. It's not that I don't like Edouard. I just don't think he's really been amongst the goals or been much of a threat up front recently. Whereas Mateta has been literally working his arse off, to be fair. So if anything, I would probably just stick with Mateta for now and then give Edouard a chance to earn his place in the team. But then, once again, that is subject to what has the manager seen in training. Is there something that he's seeing that we maybe not? He might have a preference over one or two. And then obviously, hopefully, in the summer, we can invest in maybe another striker. Hopefully.
Two things. One, at some point, I want a full show D of AJ apologizing to Mateta for the slander he gave him on the last year and a half. We'll get to another time because he killed Mateta on more than one occasion last year. You were worse, D, but AJ was pretty bad. But more importantly, what Stan says is important. I don't know if you'll go with the two strikers, but honestly, based on the fact that Mateta works so hard and then gets so tired, I'd go and start in France and have the opportunity to bring Edward off the bench on Saturday. Because AJ's right. The only two strikers that we have possibility in the youth setup are Luke Plange, who, by the way, scored a lot of goals. Scored about 3-4 goals since he came back on loan. And Franco Umo, who's been on the bench. Obviously, Plange has more experience. He played in the championship with Derby, been out on loan in League One, etc. Umo is very raw. He's only 19 years old. But again, if we're going to go, listen, whatever Glaser does, I'm good with. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that I would honestly start France on Saturday and then Edward as the option to come off the bench. Because I think that Mateta works so hard, man. And, you know, and runs himself to the ground. By the 75th minute, he's done. And to have no option to come off the bench is going to be a problem. But again, whatever Glaser does. But that's what I do. I'd start France over Edward as our, impact sub at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't think there's going to be a right or wrong answer. So we're going to see what Glasner does. But when Eze comes back, it gives us more options as well. Maybe like that, you start one of the strikers and then Eze as well behind the striker and rotate it like that. But this all depends on the formation that Glasner wants to play. But let's talk about score predictions then. Glasner's first game in charge against Burnley at home. How do we see this one going, Stan?
I'm going 2-0 Palace.
2-0 Palace.
I think, honestly, I will say though, I think last time we were up at their place, we showed them way too much respect. Way too much respect. We've got to get into them from the first minute. I know that they've only got 13 points and they're not great. They haven't won in this, they haven't won in that. They're no mugs. Trust me. Vincent Kompany's their manager. He's not a mug. Okay. And he will try and set them up as he does, and he will try and set them up to win this game. So we got to make sure that we're at it from the off and we have got the personnel to beat them. And honestly, looking at it now, I know this is easier said than done, but I'm looking at the table. This is a real opportunity. I don't think Luton play this weekend. I think they might be playing the cup or something like that. I don't think they play this weekend.
Maybe.
So we have an opportunity now to, one, chip away at the goal difference, because we're on equal goal difference as them. I know, unbelievable, but we are. And we have an opportunity to go 8 points above them. We need to execute, get it done. That's it. 2-0 Palace.
2-0 Palace. I'm going to go for 1-0. I'll take the win by any means. Hopefully keep a clean sheet. And hopefully over the last, oh, well, over the next few days, we can actually work on set pieces and sort that out. AJ? Your mic is really bad. I'm going to put you on mute, but AJ, if you didn't hear him, he said 3-1 Palace. I got that bit. Patrick?
No, he said 8-1 Palace. He broke it up.
It probably did. I don't even know. It just, it's kind of robotic, so it probably said 8-1 Palace. I don't even know.
Yeah, maybe. Stan's right. Luton aren't playing. I think they're probably playing Liverpool. Liverpool playing the FA Cup or League Cup final this weekend, so they're off until next week. But I haven't predicted a Palace win in ages. I know I haven't because I've been so negative. So I'll predict, I'm going to 3-1 Palace.
3-1 Palace. Everyone is positive. Everyone's positive. But let's just hope it goes well. It's just the uncertainty fact that we don't know what to expect. We don't even know what formation we're going to play in, which is the interesting part. But hopefully it's a strong start. Let us know your thoughts and score predictions in the comment section down below. If you have enjoyed this, make sure to hit the like button and subscribe to not miss out on future Palace content. That's it from me, Patrick, Stan, and AJ. And until next time, up the Palace.
Out the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.